Track 6. This is Brian Gall, back with more good news about our local sports teams, as well as the latest that's been happening elsewhere. We usually feature Stourbridge soccer and rugby teams, and I'm delighted to tell you that they achieved 100% success on Saturday, and that in both codes, these local sides continue to put pressure on the top sides in their respective leagues. If you opened your newspaper on Monday morning after the weekend matches, you would see that the Stourbridge soccer team are all the way up to fourth place in the Northern Premier League. That's already within the places that will play off for promotion at the end of the season. And Glassboys are on such a terrific run at the moment, you wouldn't bet against them climbing still higher. And this despite the club losing the services of Christian Green, who's joined the National League outfit Solihull Moors, and the departure of another first-team regular, Dan Scar, whose career has taken a huge jump now that he's joined the Championship side, Birmingham City. Last midweek saw Stourbridge win 4-0 in an away fixture against Michelover Sports, then on Saturday follow up with a 2-0 home win against Marine. This was a hard-fought, fairly even game, Stourbridge scoring their two goals midway through the opening half, both notched by Jordan Archer, who'd also scored two of the four in the preceding midweek game against Michelover. Although two goals in front, Stourbridge were unable to relax against opponents who never stopped trying, and the home side were unable to add to their advantage. But 3 points for another win has, as I've said, put the team right up amongst the leading promotion contenders. During January, apart from that loss in the third-round FA Cup tie against Wickham, Stourbridge have not conceded a single goal to any of their opponents and have won every match that they've played. You have to go all the way back to October for the last time Stourbridge lost a league match. Unfortunately, not the case with Hales Owen Town, who play in the same league as Stourbridge. They lost by 2-1 at Ashton United on Saturday and have slipped down to sixth from bottom in the table. They do still have a bit of a margin above the teams in the relegation places, but a win or two would do them no harm. On Saturday afternoon, I was along the road at Stourton Park watching Stourbridge Rugby in action versus Leicester Lions. This was third in National League One versus fourth, with Stourbridge seeking vengeance for the heavy defeat they suffered at the Lions ground last autumn. It promised to be a rousing affair, and it was a pity a larger crowd did not turn out to watch. The home side got off to a rousing start, pushing into the Leicester 22, where a maul on the line resulted in their being awarded a try, thanks to the intervention of the assistant referee. But Leicester had pace in their back division, which soon began to carve openings in the home defence, until they too scrambled over the line for a try, which, when converted, put them ahead by 7 points to 5. A successful penalty followed, and although Stourbridge were defending well, the visitors had the upper hand. However, the home side did penetrate upfield once again. A succession of scrums had the Lions in their turn doing the defending, and from one of these, the Stourbridge number 8, Kieran Moore, broke off and crashed over the line for Stourbridge's second try. That was converted to put the home side into a narrow lead, which they increased with a straightforward penalty in front of the posts on the stroke of half-time to give them a 15 points to 10 interval lead. If Leicester had looked the more threatening before the interval, despite being behind on the scoreboard, Stourbridge probably shaded the second half, although there was never much between the teams on the scoreboard. Leicester kicked a penalty, 15-13 to Stourbridge. After hitting a post with one long-range penalty attempt, Stourbridge's Luke White was successful with a second, 18-13 to the home side. When he added another, making it 21-13, it looked safe for Stourbridge. They were defending well and now looked rarely threatened, until a final rush of adrenaline saw the Leicester backs sweep upfield and scored their second try in the corner. The conversion failed. The referee blew his final whistle. 21-18 to Stourbridge. A victory I felt they deserved, but a close-fought match to warm a cold winter's afternoon. The Stourbridge Lions Rugby Club kept up their good work with a 30 points to 10 victory at Old Yard Lions on Saturday, maintaining their proud position at the top of Midlands 2 West North Division, but Dudley Kings Winford Rugby lost narrowly by 22-17 versus Burton to slip to fifth place in the league. Burton, one of the strongest teams in the division, are up in second place. And still on rugby, the European Championship tournament has reached the knockout stage. Two English clubs, Saracens and Wasps, have qualified for the quarterfinals, along with two Irish, that's Munster and Leinster, and one French, Clermont Auvergne. These were the five group winners, and they'll be joined by the three best runners-up, who are Glasgow, Toulon and Toulouse. Saracens will face Glasgow in one quarter-final tie. Wasps travel to Ireland to meet Leinster. There'll be an all-French tie between Clermont-Auvergne and Toulon, and Munster will face Toulouse. However, we have to await a while for these ties. They don't take place until April, after the forthcoming Six Nations series has been completed. As you can imagine, I've been gripped by the tennis news from Australia, where the Open Championship is now well into its second week. Unfortunately, we're down to a sole surviving British contestant, and it's not Andy Murray. He fell at the last 16 stage to Zverev, the German, who's ranked only about number 50 in the world, but who played a lifetime's best against Andy on Sunday night. At that stage, Dan Evans, who hails from Birmingham, was still left in the tournament, but within a few hours he too had succumbed to Joe Wilfried Tsonga, the ebullient Frenchman. Evans did take the opening set, but I think his body began to give out and he lost the next three. However, he's had a great run in Oz, having made it all the way to the final of a tournament in Sydney the week before and the last 16 of the Open, all of which has boosted his bank balance by getting on for £200,000. The men's singles is wide open now. Federer is playing well. Could he really win another major tennis title? That left us with only Joe Konta, still very much alive in the ladies' singles as I write this on Tuesday, but facing tonight what's billed as the biggest match of her career versus Serena Williams in the quarter-final round. These two have never met before, and you would imagine Serena, with all her power and ability, would be the favourite, but I just have a little worm of doubt in the back of my mind that this could be a lot closer than you may imagine. Konta's played really well up to now and has won every match in straight sets, and I'm sure we'll go into this tie with no fear and nothing to lose. This is also the time of year when I follow the action as the American football season draws to a climax. The final match, the grandly titled Super Bowl, will be played on Sunday week, the 5th of February, at Houston in Texas, between the Atlanta Falcons team and the New England Patriots, who won their respective divisional titles last Sunday. Atlanta have only ever played in the Super Bowl once before, and that was about 20 years ago. The Patriots are regulars and will probably start as favourites. That'll be another late night for me, as I usually watch it live, and it doesn't kick off until about 11 p.m. our time. I promised last week to keep you up to date with the England cricket tour of India, at which stage they'd lost the opening match and were about to embark on the second in the best-of-three series of 50-overs-a-side one-day matches. Not good news, I'm afraid. India batted first and initially things went well for the visitors. They reduced India to 25-3, all the wickets down to Chris Wokes, including the dismissal of Virat Kohli, who'd plundered a huge innings in the first match. But Yuvraj, back in the Indian side for the first time in 3 years, and Dhoni quickly altered the balance. Both made hundreds as 25-3 became 281-4. The later bat order batsmen all contributed to exactly a further 100 runs being added, India's innings on 381-6 after the 50 overs. A huge total, but England cannot be faulted for attempting to match it. Jason Roy, the opening bat, made 80-odd, Skipper Morgan 100, and there were 50s from Joe Root and Moeen Ali, but it was not quite enough. England finished on 366-8, just 16 runs short of their target. If that was a pretty close result, the third and final match ended even closer. Of course, with England already 2-0 down in the best-of-three series, the outcome of the final match was largely irrelevant, but England have won so few international matches of any kind in India over many years, you can't fault them for trying to do something to redress the balance. England batted first this time, and half-centuries from Roy, Bairstow and Stokes, plus useful contributions by the skipper, Morgan, by Billings and Wokes, all added up to a total of 321-8. After India lost a couple of early wickets in their reply, it looked as though Kohli, in combination this time with Yuvraj, would ensure yet another victory, but the England wicketkeeper Butler held a good catch off the bowling of Wokes to dismiss Kohli. And when both Yuvraj and Dhoni had also departed, when India still needed 150 to win, England looked in with a chance. Jadhav, who'd scored a lot of runs in the first match of the series, didn't see it that way, and together with his partner added a further 100 to the total. Another 45 runs needed for an Indian victory, and Jadhav still there. With the tail-enders joining him, 277 for 6 became 291 for 7, then 298 for 8, and India began the final over needing 16 runs for victory. But with two balls remaining and 6 runs still needed, Jadhav was out, caught by Billings off the bowling of Wokes. Phew, England win by 5 runs. And they now face 3 2020 internationals, the first of them tomorrow, before the tour ends. And that's also the end of my tour from the sports desk this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back next time, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.